right, thank you. So again, my name is Heather Farb, and I'm going to be talking to you today about the Crescent City Beacon Community, which was a program implemented here in New Orleans. And I'm going to be speaking a little bit about some interventions that a bunch of community health centers implemented, talk a little bit about how these interventions impacted clinical transformation and patient outcomes, and then finally end with some conclusions and lessons learned. So I have no relationships to disclose. And to give a little bit of background information on the Crescent City Beacon Community, which I'll just refer to as CCBC, New Orleans was selected as one of 17 communities throughout the country that was funded by the Office of the National Coordinator for Health Information Technology for a three-year grant. And basically the main aim of CCBC was to decrease the burden of cardiovascular disease and diabetes in the greater New Orleans area by engaging primary care practices that were also safety net practices and implementing chronic care management and transitions of care interventions. And 11 different community health center organizations participated in CCBC. Each of them had a coach and participated in learning sessions. And the major interventions that they implemented, you can see up on the screen, they included care management and care teams, population-based disease registries, risk stratification, clinical decision support, transitions of care, and quality measurement and performance reporting. So we use a mixed methods design to look at the experiences of the community health centers in implementing these interventions and also to look at how these interventions impacted their quality measures and outcomes. So as one part of that, we did four in-depth case studies of different purposively sampled centers to kind of compare their experiences with CCBC and look at kind of from a clinical standpoint how this impacted them. And as part of these case studies, we did interviews of a diverse group of providers and patients from each of these centers, and also combine this data with data from both, you know, programmatic data and data from their assessments. A second component of our evaluation was quantitative analysis, looking at the associations between implementation of their interventions and how that impacted their A1C and LDL testing levels, and also looking at how changes in their implementation affected changes in their testing levels. So for each of the centers, we looked at their implementation of their interventions at three different points in time, baseline, the middle of the project, and at the end of the project. And we classified the centers by tiers according to their baseline implementation score of the interventions. So this ended up creating three different tiers of centers. The tier one centers were four different centers that all had baseline scores of less than 45%. And for the most part, these were centers that had some kind of recent change in leadership. The Tier 2 centers were five centers that had baseline scores between 45% and 65%. And for the most part, they were pretty small centers they were kind of new and had less experience than the Tier 3 centers. And the Tier 3 centers were the highest performing at baseline. Their implementation scores at baseline were greater than 65%. And for the most part, they were experienced in clinical transformation and also had experience with quality improvement activities as well. So as you can see, The greatest areas where they had the most impact on implementing these interventions were transitions of care, in which they increased implementation from 0% to 81% at the end of the program. The development and deployment of written care plans, which increased from 38% to 75%. And teaching staff about clinical decision support tools, which increased from 31% to 63%. So now if we kind of look at each of the tiers to see how their implementation was different, you can see it very markedly in each of these slides. So again, this is the tier one sites or centers. These were the centers that, again, were the lowest performing at baseline. And as you can see, they made the greatest improvement over CCBC in the areas of population management and quality improvement, which are the blue and green lines. But you might also notice that a lot of their interventions kind of tapered off or even decreased over the course of CCBC, which has to do a lot with challenges with sustainability, which I'll talk about a little bit later at the end of the presentation. The Tier 2 centers, again, you can kind of see how these differ a little bit from the Tier 1. They did make a lot of improvement over the course of CCBC, and their areas of greatest improvement were clinical decision support and risk stratification, and these are the blue and orange lines. And then finally, the Tier 3 clinics, again, these were the centers that were the highest performing at baseline. And so you can kind of see that they have somewhat of a ceiling effect in which they already had pretty high scores at baseline, and they didn't really have much change with the exception of transitions of care, which is that purple line at the bottom. So the centers did make pretty large improvements in the areas of A1C control and LDL control. Their A1C less than 8 increased from 49% to 58% over the course of CCBC, and their LDL less than 100 increased from 37% to 40% over that three-year period. And the providers really attributed these successes to enhancements of both their care team makeup and their care management delivery. And this included things like care plans, group visits, diabetes boot camps, and things like that. They also attributed these successes to targeted delivery of both patient education and care management, and this had a lot to do with health information technology and using that for risk stratification and their workflow processes. So we kind of combined all this data and started looking at some correlations between the implementation of the interventions and how that affected their testing levels. And these are the interventions that we found that did have some kind of association with testing levels. So as you can see, practice policies was associated with A1C testing, and then practice policies, risk stratification, and clinical decision support were all associated with LDL testing levels. Changes in clinical decision support, care management, and quality improvement were all associated with changes in LDL testing levels, and changes in care management and quality improvement were associated with changes in A1C testing levels. And the last finding that's not up here is that increased overall implementation of all of the interventions was associated with an increase in LDL testing levels. And I think that finding really highlights the fact that combining several different interventions led to a much bigger effect than just really concentrating on one of the different interventions. So now to get a better idea of what this looked like on a clinical level, I'm going to focus on one of the case study centers, which is a tier 2 center. So again, that was one of those middle level sites at baseline. So this case study center, like all of the other centers that participated, spread their clinical transformation that happened under CCBC using those new processes and tools to other parts of their practice beyond just what was going on with CCBC. In the words of the operations manager, she explained, "The new registries helped us not only maintain better continuity of care for our patients, but it's also assisting us with our application for patients at our medical homes as well." So this case study center started developing registries for both diabetes and cardiovascular disease. And they use these registries to both identify and proactively manage those highest risk patients in order to more effectively allocate their resources. And after CCBC, they were able to leverage what they learned with these registries in order to successfully receive a grant for cervical cancer screenings. So this is just one way they were able to spread what they learned from CCBC beyond. One of the major focuses of the case study center was in their creation and implementation of a new care manager role. And the care manager's main responsibility was to aggressively follow those patients that were the highest risk. And she did this by providing them with additional education, one-on-one support, and specific individualized care plans for each of her patients. In her own words, she described her role. She said, "I'm like a family friend, a coach. I am the motivator, the cheerleader." And her patients were really affected by this, and a lot of them talked about how they became a lot more empowered, a lot more confident. They felt like they could self-manage their conditions a lot better than they could before, and they really saw that the care manager was really an important part of this. Both the providers and the patients really understood the importance of the care management's role in all in improving care quality, coordination, and patient outcomes. So the medical director for the case study, this case study center, shared, "We have had patients that had A1Cs of 14.7 go down to 6.6 in less than a year, patients that have lost 25 pounds, patients that have come off of one or two different blood pressure medicines." And the providers really attributed all these successes to their dedicated care manager and to the fact that the patients were now part of a really tight care team. They were all working together to reach obtainable goals. While before the patient was kind of separate, now they were part of this team that was all working together. So in order to get a better idea of what this looked like for the patients, I'm going to share the story of one couple who I'm going to refer to as Jack and Lisa. Jack was a truck driver, or I guess he still is a truck driver, And his wife, Lisa, typically goes out on the road with him for weeks at a time. And over a six-month span, they are both diagnosed with diabetes. And for Jack especially, he was really worried because he knew that if he had to go on insulin, he was going to lose his job, that the truck company wasn't going to let him continue. So they started going to this clinic, and with the care manager, she's really been kind of like a lifeline for them while they're on the road. She's been working with them, creating a healthier lifestyle, teaching them how to eat healthier, decrease their portion sizes. And she's also been trying really hard to get them to walk laps around their truck when they're at rest stops, which is still a little bit challenging for them, but they're trying to work on it. She's very determined to kind of change their behaviors and everything. And so while it has been really hard for them to continue self-managing their conditions, the care manager has been really successful in helping them improve their outcomes. When he was diagnosed with diabetes, Jack's A1C was over 10, and he had high blood pressure as well. And as of a year after being diagnosed, his A1C decreased from 10 to about 6.8, and he has remained off of insulin as well. So again, this really highlights the role of that care manager. So going back to these were the charts that I showed earlier. And despite the gains that they did make in intervention, in implementing those interventions and impacting the outcomes of the patients and testing levels, many of the clinics did have some challenges sustaining their work, especially those Tier 1 centers in the upper left. If you look at the Tier 1 and the Tier 2 centers, they had really similar trajectories in that first baseline to middle portion. They were both making a lot of rapid gains. But the Tier 2 centers continued increasing or kind of stabilized, while the Tier 1 centers, some of their scores kind of, you know, they tapered off or they even decreased for some of those interventions. So the reason why it was difficult for them is because as they kept implementing more and more interventions, a lot of times, especially for those Tier 1 centers, they had to kind of choose what was important, and they could only really focus on certain things. So risk stratification for some of the clinics became something that didn't seem as important, and so by the end of it, they weren't really doing it as much. Another area that was really challenging for all of the centers was financially sustaining the care manager position, which a lot of them had recently implemented under CCBC. And one of the centers began splitting one care manager between several different sites, while another center had all of their nurses start doing care plans and kind of got rid of that one dedicated care manager position. A lot of the centers were worried about being able to fully integrate this work that they had done into their workflow, and this was especially evident in the lack of written protocols, even though that was kind of a focus of CCBC. By the end of CCBC, only a half of the centers had developed a written protocol for their risk stratification, and only a third had developed a written protocol for their registries. So again, while this is something that they were kind of implementing, it wasn't being fully integrated because there was no written protocols. Finally, a lot of the centers were worried. They said that they thought they were really successful under CCBC because of the structure of the project, in which they had a coach and they had to be accountable to that coach. And they were worried that once the funding and technical assistance ended, that they wouldn't have that same push and momentum. And they didn't know how to continue with that. So this kind of brings me to a few lessons learned. The first one is that it's really important that implementation be sequenced, in which the interventions build up one after another. As you can see from that previous picture or the previous charts, the different tiers implemented interventions in different ways. And it was really important that they had certain foundations in place before they could start building off of those foundations and creating more, a little bit more difficult interventions. For example, they really needed to have care management and quality improvement in place before they could start developing registries, risk stratification, clinical decision support, and finally, maybe go into transitions of care, which is something that was a little bit more complex and it shouldn't really have been focused on until they had some of those more baseline things in place. A second lesson learned is that it was really important that the clinics integrated their new policies to make it something that people just automatically did. I remember one of the medical directors said that she wanted everything to just be something that people did automatically, that they didn't have to think about it. Because as soon as people started thinking about it, they're going to start, you know, with all their other priorities and everything going on, you know, these providers are really busy, and if they can't remember what the new intervention is, they're not going to continue with it. Finally, it's really essential that the centers develop sustainability plans throughout the duration of the project. It can't really just be something that's an afterthought. Because for the centers that kind of thought about it at the way end, it wasn't something that they were really going to be able to sustain. They needed to have plans to figure out how they were going to continue with this momentum, if they were going to continue having their work group meeting, or if they were going to have one person be in charge of it, or how that was going to continue, and how they were going to continue having feedback on what was going right and what needed to be changed. So this last quote from a medical director, I think, really sums up the presentation. And he said, "If you're not regularly emphasizing it, you'll either have people who slowly slip back to their old ways, or you'll have a new person watch others doing it a semi-half sort of way and think that's how it's supposed to be done." So again, I think this really emphasizes the need for written protocols, integration of new interventions, and also the need to create sustainability plans throughout the duration of a project instead of just kind of having it be an afterthought. And that is it. Thank you very much. This project actually ended about a year ago, but I think for future projects we probably would change what that level was, or what that metric is. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So even, thank you for the presentation, even with the tier 3 ones, it looks like they were pretty consistent on that. The transition is the lower one.
Yeah. Yeah, so the transitions of care had a lot to do with New Orleans recently implemented what's called the Greater New Orleans Health Information Exchange, and that was kind of a part of CCBC, but it continues past CCBC. And I think basically the whole point of it is that the centers are supposed to be getting some kind of notification when their patients are going to the ED or inpatient. And I think it was something where a lot of the centers, it was being implemented the same time that they were doing the other interventions, and it was something where they might not have had a dedicated person doing it, or a lot of times the centers weren't getting extremely helpful information from the health information exchange. And it's something that continues to be improved, but for some of the centers, they really weren't getting the information that they had hoped for from it. It continued kind of figuring out what the challenges were with that. So I think it became something that maybe wasn't as important as some of the other interventions.
So they didn't, besides the HIE, mm-hmm.
No, they weren't really getting any of that from the hospitals. Through the Health Information Exchange, they were supposed to get some kind of notification that was automatic. But even with that, some of the centers were only really getting a notification that, you know, patient X was in the hospital, and they didn't know why. They still couldn't get into the hospital's EMR, and so it was something where they still had to, you know, go in and figure out why the person was there. There were like a few different, so for each of those six interventions, there was basically a long checklist. So I think it was things like whether or not they were hooked up to it, if they had somebody dedicated who was receiving those notifications. There were like a whole bunch of different measures. They're kind of like process measures, looking at whether or not it was more process than outcome. No, not really. There's a bunch of different hospital systems here, and so I think the Health Information Exchange only initially started out with one of the hospitals, but each of the centers is also in different EMRs, and the Health Information Exchange is supposed to kind of make it easier to do all of that, but at the beginning, a lot of the challenges were still kind of being worked out while they were implementing it, and so I think it's something they're continuing to work on now. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. So were they given additional hours to do that? How did they manage the workload in addition to the case management?
Yeah, so I'm thinking about one center specifically that did that, and that center actually is an HIV clinic, and so chronic care was a whole new focus for them. And the person who used to be their care manager, he was a little bit concerned about that because they really weren't getting extra hours or anything, so he wasn't sure how sustainable it was going to be and whether or not they were actually going to have the impact that he could make when he specifically was just working with those highest-risk patients. So it's just kind of something that was added on. Just one of the problems, too, a lot of those nurses weren't part of the original change team, so they might not have seen the importance of CCBC from the beginning. And all of a sudden they're being told, okay, you need to do a, you know, you need to do some kind of care plan. And if it was something where they had been engaged from the start, they might not have, they might have seen more like why they were doing what they were doing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the buy-in of staff and leadership are both huge challenges and things that the centers really need to work on. Okay. Thank you.